Coming to you from the mountains and the plains, the only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance.
And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire. Happy Saturday to everyone. Teased this podcast earlier in the week, but we're going to start diving into the COVID vaccines, the method in which they were developed and tested, and the ethics surrounding the fact that they relied on aborted fetal cell lines. I need to make sure that I get that out of the way so don't get fact-checked. There are no aborted babies in any of the vaccines, but in order to develop, in the case of Pfizer, their vaccine, they relied on a cell line that can be traced back to an aborted fetus. And in the case of Moderna and Pfizer, they actually tested their vaccine using cell lines that can be traced back to an aborted baby. So we're going to be talking about that, talking about the ethics, the morality of it. The Catholic Church has come out hard against Pfizer. Really, really hard. So we're going to talk about that. No phone lines because I'm doing this from home. It's a Saturday. But I will be reading your comments in the comment section. And I apologize on DLive. I'm trying to string this together. There might be a little bit of an echo. I'm trying to make it work. I don't have the same hardware as they have at the office. So I apologize for that. But Facebook and YouTube, we should be up fine. No problem. So let's just get right into this. You have Moderna and Pfizer. They've produced what's called an mRNA vaccine. And basically what their vaccine does is it creates the spike protein that's found in the virus that causes COVID-19 and basically teaches your body how to react to that spike protein. The spike protein is what the virus uses to attach itself to your cells. It's the delivery mechanism. So the way kind of to explain how the vaccine is designed to work, I've been explaining to a lot of people this way. They like the analogy. Imagine that you are taking a martial arts class. And in order to get your next belt, you have to learn how to get out of a certain grip. Let's say someone's grabbing you from behind. They grab you from behind and you have to learn how to break away from that grip. So you'll try that over and over again. You'll have people in class come up, grab you, and you practice how to get out of it, right? So that when you're out in the world, if someone tries to grab you in the same exact manner, your body instinctually knows how to just fight back and get out of that grip. The Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are designed kind of in that way, in that they've isolated the spike protein that's found in COVID-19. They give that to people, and then the body recognizes the spike protein. It recognizes that grip, right? That coming from behind, grabbing you, that grip. And your body prepares for it in case it ever encounters it again, which is why the second vaccine dose tends to be the worst. The first vaccine dose, you're basically identifying the grip to the body. The second vaccine dose, it's after it's already taken all those classes, and it's going to throw the kitchen sink at it, which is why you have people getting a whole host of symptoms. Their body is throwing everything they can at it because they know how to fight it. They know how to beat it. So that's what an mRNA vaccine basically does. I'm not a scientist, just trying to give you the 30,000 foot view of it. Moderna and Pfizer did not utilize... Sorry, Pfizer did not utilize fetal tissue in the development of their vaccines. They didn't need to, right? Because the mRNA vaccine, it is basically a synthetic creation. They've isolated the protein, they're creating the protein and tricking your body. What they did use, though, they did use a cell line that can be traced back to an abortion that was performed in the 1970s in the Netherlands, known as HEK293. So we've talked about this on the show in the past. Planned Parenthood, the whole scandal of them selling aborted babies, selling the body parts from aborted babies. People wonder, well, how is it that could possibly be profitable. Just so we're clear, in the 1970s, there was an abortion I believe it's the Netherlands. It could have been somewhere else, but they believe it was in the Netherlands. An abortion was performed in the Netherlands, and they harvested certain cells from that aborted baby. And they've kept those cells alive ever since. And those cells multiply over and over and over again. So the cells that they use now are not the same cells that came from the baby. They aren't, right? It millions of generations removed. And by generations, I mean cell replication. The reason that the scientists like to use fetal cells is because if you think about it, an unborn baby is a miracle, right? You go from an egg and a sperm cell, they interact, you get the chromosomes from the father, chromosomes from the mother, your genetic code is pretty much set at that point, and then this one little cell proceeds to grow into a baby. And in order for that to happen over 9 months, there have to be a lot of changes, a lot of pretty rapid cellular growth. So fetal cells, cells from unborn babies, are designed to grow very, very quickly. And just to show you, this is what it looks like, HEK293. This is the cell line that can be traced back to an abortion in the Netherlands in the 1970s that Moderna and Pfizer used to test their vaccine. This is what it looks like under a microscope. This is basically a time lapse of 240 seconds. So just to see how fast it grows, there was barely any of it at the start of this. And it's now filling the screen. This is a time lapse of 240 seconds. Just to show you, they use this because they can grow these cells in a lab condition. They can multiply, and then they can use those cells for experimentation. So there you have it. Just in a time lapse of 240 seconds, a few of those cells have completely covered that screen. And that's what it started like, just so you can see. So that's why they like this. So if you've always wondered why Planned Parenthood was selling the body parts, and I use selling, again, don't want to get fact-checked, they weren't profiting, according to them. They were just breaking even. The reason that they were selling baby body parts is because of things like that. Unborn babies are miraculous in their healing abilities and their regenerative abilities and their growing abilities, and pharmaceutical companies want it. And just so you understand how valuable this kind of tissue, to use the medical term, right now it's no longer from an aborted baby. It's a long time down the road, right? I don't want to belittle an abortion, but if you put down some sod and the sod keeps growing decades later, and now it's reached the other side of your yard, yes, it stems from the aborted baby, which is terrible. But the grass on the other side of your yard is not the actual grass that you put in at the start. It's weird. I mean, I hate having to do this, but I'm trying to break it down so you can understand what's at play here. Because there's a lot of people saying that when you get a shot, there's an aborted baby inside of it. There isn't. There is not. Pfizer and Moderna used it to test the efficacy, whether or not their vaccine works. So if you wonder why Planned Parenthood was selling this tissue, if you want to know how profitable it can be, as I mentioned, HEK293, which is that cell line from a single abortion in the Netherlands in the 1970s, if you want to buy it today, if you want to buy some cells from that cell line, the price is $349. $349. Now, I don't know the exact amount that you get. I imagine it's not a whole lot because it grows very quickly. But that there's a price to it, right? They're growing this almost like they're horticulturalists, almost like they're aquaculturalists, right? They're growing it to profit. It's really disgusting, this idea that there's a baby who gave his or her life, I believe it's actually a her life, to the scourge of abortion in 1970, I think, five. And there are companies still profiting off of that single loss of life today. But yeah, lots of people ask, what does it look like if you want to buy this? $349 is the price. And just so you know, this has been up for so long, it's actually been indexed by Google. So if you search HEK293 buy in Google, right, the webpage that they sell it from actually says inquire for a price, but it's been there so long, Google has cached it, and Google will just tell you it's $349. That's how much they charge for those cells that can be derived from 1975, I believe, abortion in the Netherlands. So it's a very profitable business. Very profitable business. So Pfizer and Moderna use these cells, which can be traced back to that abortion, to test whether or not their vaccine works. Meaning they wanted to test at a cellular level whether their mRNA protein spike, their vaccine, will actually be accepted by cells and do what they hoped it would do. So before they actually went to human trials, before they went to animal trials, they did this. So they could, whenever you hear people talking about like, oh, well, in vitro, right? Oh, it was great. It worked in vitro. They're talking about this level, like in a petri dish. That's what they're talking about. So they tested it. They tested it on these cells and they determined that it was effective. So then they went on to animal trials and they went on to human trials, yada, yada, yada. Lots of people are really upset about this and it's disgusting. Right, the fact that there are companies, bio companies, pharma companies profiting off of a death due to the scourge of abortion decades ago, and they're still profiting off of it. They're still using it. Disgusting. Disgusting, disgusting, disgusting. There's no way around it. Are you, though? I'm not going to get into whether or not you should take the vaccine, whether you shouldn't. I'm not going to get into whether the vaccine works or whether the vaccine doesn't. That's up to you, right? This is an episode just talking about the morals and the ethics of it. Would you be ethically compromised as a pro-life conservative if you were to take the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine? Realize those are vaccines not developed with these fetal cells, but tested against them to make sure that they work. Would you be ethically or morally compromised? A lot of people say yes, and I understand that view. I understand the view that they want nothing to do with abortion, and I don't either. Right? Unfortunately, there are a lot of products, a lot of medicines, a lot of other vaccines that are tested in the same way. And we just don't know about it because there's not that much scrutiny. There's not that much public attention to it. I just showed you that HEK293, they're selling it online for $350. $350 can get any pharma company enough of these cells to grow them in their own labs and test all the different iterations of their drugs, their vaccines, yada, yada, yada. So this is happening all over the place. So there is no doubt that we have all already been exposed to drugs, to vaccines that have utilized this cell line to process it. And if you want to make sure that you don't get involved in it at all, then that's a perfectly fine ethical discussion. From an ethics perspective, though, the fact that the company, evil as they are, used fetal cells to test their vaccine doesn't necessarily make the vaccine itself morally evil. Now, you can think it's morally evil for other reasons. I'm just talking just from the perspective of pro-life. I'm a Catholic, pro-life Catholic. The vaccine itself is not inherently evil. The people who decided to use the fetal cells to test it are the evil ones, right? Who contributed to this never-ending cycle of profiting off of the death of an unborn child. They're the evil ones. So I wanted to talk because lots of people don't know this. If you see anything that is like a legacy product, anything that is a product that has been on the market for decades, if you see that it reads safe for human consumption, chances are the only way that they were able to get that rating is by testing it on animals. It's disgusting. It's gross, right? Now companies don't necessarily need to do that. Right? The FDA understands that you can't just have every new product killing a bunch of animals in their development process. So there are other ways to get that little sticker right on the side of the bottle. But if you look at something like Clorox bleach, the only way, Clorox bleach has been on the market long enough that we can confidently say the only way that they were able to secure that not safe for human consumption label, which they had to have, right? The only way they were able to do that was pouring bleach down the throats of animals. And that might be an oversimplification, but somewhere along the line, there were animals who were directly abused to make sure, to determine once for all whether bleach will kill them or not. So we know that like the pharmaceutical companies do this with monkeys. And these are really sad pictures. This is a monkey. They have literally, it looks like a handcuff around its neck, and they're getting ready to inject it with things just to see what happens. Now, in a lot of ways, this is part of the testing process. But when you start talking about not pharmaceuticals, but just makeup, beauty products, do we really need to be injecting monkeys with beauty products? Is that really necessary? I'm not a PETA guy. I'm not an animal rights activist by any way, shape, or form. But the idea that there are monkeys that are dying so that we can figure out better ways to apply makeup or get rid of wrinkles, it seems a bit much. Now, when you get in the car and you drive, you put on your seatbelt. They now use crash dummies, right? They use crash dummies to simulate what an impact would look like. But whatever car you drive, as long as it's not a new company like a Tesla, but even they are borrowing this research, you know that you will be safe, right? You know that the airbags will save you. You know that the seatbelt will protect you because decades ago, car companies used animals, live animals, in their actual crash tests to see what would happen. Now, this is a picture. I'm not going to show you what happens afterwards because it's disgusting. This is a picture from China because China's still doing this. China doesn't use the crash test dummies, which simulate the human body. China is strapping pigs into their crash test simulations just to see what happens. Just to see what happens. I mean, this is like really the grossness of all of this. But yeah, they are killing live animals when we've already developed ways that we don't need to do this. But if you drive something like a Ford, a Chevy, right, any legacy vehicles, the seatbelt design, your seat design, was created after extensive research of what happens when you send an animal, a live animal, at a wall at 100 miles per hour, right? I mean, that's what the testing did. Now, the fact that China's still doing this, disgusting. And I encourage anyway, again, I'm not a PETA guy, but like, as I'm researching this, it really grosses me out. And yeah, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can't undo the horrible things that major companies did to test their products decades ago. You can't undo it. And does that mean I'm going to buy some different brand of bleach instead of Clorox or something else? Probably not, right? Because they're not doing the current testing and you can't really undo the past. But it's disgusting. The point I'm trying to make is that every day in our lives, we use products. We buckle up in the car, right? We put our life on the line using technologies that the only reason they exist is because they were tested in really, really horrible, horrible ways. Horrible ways. So I'll remind you, anytime you're in the kitchen, every time you're underneath your sink, look at the bottle. If it says not safe for human consumption and it's a legacy brand, it's something that's been around a long time, chances are it was tested in a very, very terrible, terrible, inhumane way that even if you're not an animal rights activist, will still make your skin crawl. The reason I say that is to circle back. Abortion is terrible. Abortion is a scourge, right? It should never happen. It should never happen again. No one should have to go through that. And yes, the women who get it are still victims themselves because they don't know better. And they've been tricked or conned into thinking that life inside them isn't actually a human, right? So there's lots of victims to all of this. Abortion is terrible. Is the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine inherently evil because they, the executives, decided that the way they were going to test it was using a cell line derived from an abortion? Logically, morally, ethically, I don't think the vaccine is itself evil for that reason. You could think it's evil for other reasons. I don't think there is an evil in the vaccine for that very reason. I think that the people who decide this is how we're going to test it, they are the evil ones. Just like I don't think that your seatbelt is evil. What's evil is the people who, after they knew what crashes do to a human body, still put pigs and other live animals through these crash tests, right? People who want to make more money with Botox injections, so they have new formulas and they inject into the faces of monkeys just to see what happens, right? Those are the evil people. Not necessarily the product itself. The people who decide how they want to test their product. Now, that's just my personal opinion. And again, I'm not telling you to get the vaccine. I'm not telling you that you should or should not. That's up for you to decide. This is just a conversation about the ethics and the morality of whether the fact that these executives had the vaccine tested on a cell line from a 1975 abortion in the Netherlands makes the vaccine inherently evil. I don't think it does. Now, that's for Moderna and Pfizer. When it comes to Johnson & Johnson, I have a completely different opinion. Because Johnson & Johnson's vaccine is not an mRNA vaccine. It's what's called an adenovirus vaccine. And I'm not a scientist, so I don't want to basically butcher this. But to give you a quick crash course on how their vaccine differs. Remember, the Moderna Pfizer, they isolate the protein, and they're basically putting in the body and tricking your body into thinking that there's also a virus attached to the protein. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine does that, but in a different way. So in order to trick your body, they take like a harmless virus, like a common cold kind of virus, and they engineer it to have the same spike protein as the virus that causes COVID-19. So basically, they're taking a relatively harmless virus and they're souping it up, they're upgrading it so that they can put it into a body and trick the body into thinking it is COVID-19. So in order for, when you see that Johnson & Johnson says that they need they're going to have 4 million doses of their vaccine available, I think this week. In order to do that, they need a lot of virus. They need a lot of virus. Think about that. Every single one of those doses has a form of virus inside of it that has been genetically engineered to mimic COVID-19. Again, I'm not a scientist. If you're a scientist, you might say I'm getting little things wrong. I'm just trying to explain it like you're five. Like, no, I'm saying explain it like I'm five. Just trying to button this up to explain it pretty easily. So each one of those doses, they needed virus to create it. And they can't just go out and grab virus. It's not that easy. They needed to create virus. So the way they did that is by utilizing a different cell line, also derived from an aborted baby. Theirs is called PERC6. PERC6. And this is an abstract from 2001 explaining what PERC6 is. And this is the title, just so you can know how sick these people are. The human cell line PERC6 provides a new manufacturing system for the production of influenza vaccines. Just so we're clear, they are talking about cells that can be traced back to an aborted baby, now being reclassified as a manufacturing system. Just think about that. I don't like dead air, but I want to pause so you can think about how out of touch, how just warped someone needs to be to look at something that they say, well, this used to be a baby. A baby was killed. And we've taken that baby's cells and we've grown them in a lab. And now we're redefining it as a manufacturing system. And it turns out, yes, PERC6 is proprietary for Johnson & Johnson. PERC6, they actually believe that when that baby was killed, they got those cells and they believe it's proprietary. That the life God created in that womb that was snuffed out, they believe that they own it now, that they own the code, almost like they wrote a computer program. And anyone who wants to use theirs has to pay a license for the right to use it. Remember, I showed you the other one. I showed you HEK293. HEK293 is kind of like open source. To use like a computer terminology, open source. It's been around so long. So many different people have it. No one has a patent on it. Different places sell it. Different places buy it. It's grown in-house. That's HEK293, which is what Moderna and Pfizer use. But when you look at Johnson & Johnson, they actually believe theirs is proprietary. They believe it's proprietary. How can a human life snuffed out be proprietary? I have no idea. I was doing the research and it's really, this is one of the ones that I hated the most, researching just what happened, because there's lots of, I'm not going to put it up. Maybe I will. I'll read it to you. I'm not going to put it on the screen. Just the heartlessness of the people behind this and how they have no sympathy for the damage they cause. So this is a quote from a Dr. Van der Ebb, talking about the PERC6 abortion and cell line. So he's explaining how he got this cell line. So I isolated retina from a fetus, from a healthy fetus as far as could be seen, of 18 weeks old. There was nothing special with the family history, or the pregnancy was completely normal up to 18 weeks, and it turned out to be a socially indicated abortus. Abortus provocatus is how he describes it. And that was simply because the woman wanted to get rid of the fetus. So this is a quote from the doctor, understanding that there was nothing wrong with this baby. The baby was completely healthy. It was just that the mother wanted to get rid of it. So he went in and extracted the retina. Eyeball. Extracted the retina cells from a healthy fetus. Next quote. The father was not known to the hospital anymore. What was written down was unknown father. And that was, in fact, the reason why the abortion was requested. There was permission, etc., and that was, however, was in 1985, 10 years before this. This shows that the cells were isolated in October 1985 in my lab. At that time, already 85, I should say the cells were frozen, stored in liquid nitrogen, and in 1995, one of these was thawed for the generation of the PER.C6 cells. So I'm not going to read this anymore. I just want to give you a taste of how the people responsible for this view it. So the woman didn't want her baby. The father disappeared. So therefore, I guess in their mind, it is ethical, it is moral to go in and extract the baby's eyeball. and I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's so disgusting. That's just the impulse mechanism to try and cope with this horror. They extract the eye cells, froze it for 10 years, unfroze it, put the cells, like warmed up the cells, and started regenerating them. And now they call it PER.C6. It's proprietary. They own it. They own that baby's retinal cells. And every Johnson & Johnson vaccine that needs an adenovirus or anything else where they need to generate virus in large quantities to test something, they now use this, PERC6. So yes, unlike Pfizer and Moderna, PERC6 was used in development of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They didn't just use these cells to test whether their vaccines work. They actually used the cell line tracing back to a 1985 abortion. Remember, a baby that was not wanted. So we're just going to take the eye. And again, you can see why Planned Parenthood is literally operating as a butcher shop, selling different body parts because different body parts have different purposes. You probably didn't think that an unborn baby's eyeball would be so valuable. But yeah, no, it's the center of Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine. It's going to make them billions of dollars. All because one baby was aborted because the mother didn't want him, the father was unknown, and the doctor went in and extracted its eye. So unlike Pfizer and Moderna, this was used from the beginning. They had to generate a lot of viruses so they could isolate that virus, genetically modify it, add the spike protein so they could trick the human body into thinking that when that virus entered their system, it was actually COVID-19. Again, a very rough generalization of how the J&J vaccine works. So when you look at this, very, very different. Very, very different. Now it's completely fine to say they're all bad. They all are tainted by the scourge of abortion. No one will fault you for that. Logically, though, it is a very hard line to take because, as I said, you look around your house, pretty much everything that you consume, everything you use to clean products with, everything you rely on to keep you safe has in one way been tested in an abominable way. I worry about using that line of thinking because I don't want to think about myself surviving every time I get in the car because of how many pigs were just completely inhumanely slaughtered, right? I don't want to think about that. But if you say it's all equal, fine. Personally, though, I believe that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is orders of magnitude worse from a moral and ethical perspective than Pfizer or Moderna, because every single vaccine includes material that was grown using aborted fetal cells. It's disgusting. Literally, when you see them celebrating the J&J vaccine out there, know that every time someone gets jabbed in the arm, a baby killed in 1985 helped make that happen. Now there's the other logic that says if abortion is going to happen, you can't turn back the clock. Why shouldn't that abortion have meant something? Yes, someone died, a baby died. Well, most people say is they don't call it a baby. A fetus, they say, died in 1985. Shouldn't we at least try and find some purpose out of that so that the baby didn't die in vain? And I can understand that thinking, but that's incredibly dangerous. Because as we know, Planned Parenthood is still harvesting fetal tissue. They're still selling it. So this is not something that we can say it happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's over. No one's doing it anymore. We have to live with the consequences. The way we do when we get in a car, knowing, now that you know, sorry, that your seatbelt was tested by killing a lot of animals. Right? They're not doing it anymore. So when they come out with a new seatbelt, when they come out with new airbags, that's not on the backs of animals, right? It's a little different because here they're still using this tissue. They're still using it for research purposes, pushing the boundaries, seeing just how much they can extract from snuffed out unborn life. So it's really hard to take that position. It really is. The Catholic Church has put out a pretty eviscerating statement about all of this. And I want to read to you a little bit of it right now. Now, I'm Catholic. I don't expect all of you to be Catholic. The Catholic Church isn't perfect. The people making declarations by no means are perfect. But the way it's reasoned is interesting. So I want to read it so you can hear it. The approval of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine for use in the United States again raises questions about the moral permissibility of using vaccines developed, tested, and/or produced with the help of abortion-derived cell lines. Pfizer and Moderna's vaccine raised concerns because an abortion-derived cell line was used for testing them, but not in their production. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, however, was developed and tested and is produced with abortion-derived cell lines, raising additional moral concerns. The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith has judged that, quote, when ethical, reproachable COVID-19 vaccines are not available, it is morally acceptable to receive COVID-19 vaccines that have used cell lines from aborted fetuses in their research and production process. However, if one can choose among equally safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines, the vaccine with the least connection to abortion-derived cell lines should be chosen. Therefore, if one has the ability to choose a vaccine, Pfizer or Moderna's vaccine should be chosen over Johnson & Johnson. While we should continue to insist that pharmaceutical companies stop using abortion-derived cell lines, given the worldwide suffering that this pandemic has caused, we affirm again that being vaccinated can be an act of charity that serves the common good. So you can disagree with that line of thinking. And I'm not expecting that everyone's going to leave here accepting that line of thinking. I don't even accept all of it. Right. The logic, though, is that when you put all three of these vaccines side by side by side, there is a clear evil among them. There's one that stands out far and away worse than any of the other two. And that is Johnson & Johnson. And that's not defamation. It's just, it is morally reprehensible to build an entire part of your business model on the back of an unborn child, right? It is morally reprehensible to try and make that unborn child's life that was snuffed out proprietary, that right before that baby was killed, they extracted cells from their retina, and therefore they own the cells, that it doesn't belong to the baby, doesn't belong to the mother, doesn't belong to the father, doesn't belong to God above. It belongs to Johnson & Johnson, all because they took it. I mean, it's reprehensible. And this is why we absolutely need a constitutional amendment that recognizes that unborn humans are in fact humans. They are not some other species. They are human beings. And they deserve to be treated as such, not like Joe Biden would say, if you disagree with me, you're Neanderthal, right? It's a little bit off topic, but it's the same thing we see with abortion. It's the idea of dehumanizing the opponent, dehumanizing something so you don't have to afford it human rights, human dignity. Easy to snuff it out. Right? It comes from the same branch, people. It comes from the same exact branch. So when you compare the three vaccines, there's obviously one far and away that is morally reprehensible, more so than the other two. And if you are going to get one, which again, your decision, if you are going to get one, and you are concerned about the life implications, and you have the ability to choose between the three, because not everyone, if you go somewhere, not everyone can choose. A lot of times they don't even really tell you, which is scary. If you have the ability to choose, do not choose to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Right? If you don't want the vaccine or you want to wait for a vaccine that is not tainted by the scourge of abortion, wait. There are a couple more coming down the pike. I know there's at least one, I forget the company, that has not used aborted fetal cell lines at any point in its process. Maybe that won't be confirmed. I don't know. Maybe it won't be approved. No idea. But if you want to wait, wait. But if your concern over getting a vaccine is simply because it's all tainted by abortion, Moderna and Pfizer, yes, it was used and tested on cells that were derived from an abortion in the Netherlands in the 1970s. It's not actually in the vaccine. The vaccine itself wasn't made on the back of an aborted baby. It was made, and then, again, the evil in this whole thing is that the executives, the researchers, decide to use fetal cells to test it. In my personal opinion, you can disagree with me, it's fine. My personal opinion, if there's evil to be had there for this specific question, the evil rests with the people who decided to test it against that and perpetuate the idea that aborted babies are somehow commodities. That's the evil, not the vaccine itself. Now, you can say you don't want to support those people, so the best way to oppose those people is to not get the vaccine. Agreed. That makes sense, right? But if you want to get the vaccine and you do not want to, if you want to figure out a way to wrap your head around this so as you are not directly responsible or contributing to the scourge of abortion, Moderna and Pfizer, it's legitimate. You can get that vaccine if you are pro-life, and it is possible to at least reason within your own head that you did not just contribute to abortion. The evil people who designed it did. So again, not everyone will agree with me. This is something I've been thinking about a lot. I'm on the board of directors of a pregnancy center in Las Vegas, a pro-life pregnancy center. This is something we've been debating a lot. It's a very complicated issue. And it's one where everyone's going to have to kind of decide where they stand themselves. I just wanted to create this episode to show you that, yeah, all three vaccines in this regard are not created equal. There is one that is far and away worse than the others, Johnson & Johnson. And there are the other two that, yes, they were tested against cell lines derived from an old abortion, but the vaccines themselves were not developed from it. So let me know what you think about this episode. I know that lots of talk about the vaccine. I didn't want to get into whether the vaccine works, whether it doesn't, whether you should get it, whether you shouldn't. That's up to you. Just let me know what you think about this episode. I've been seeing a lot of fact checks on it, and I want to make sure that at least the truth got out there from a pro-life perspective that is also reasonable, right? And I'm not saying you're unreasonable if you refuse to do anything even connected to these tissues. That's a perfectly fine line to take. I just personally, it's really hard because I counted injections over the years I've gotten to travel abroad, going to school, and I've had vaccines derived from this injected into me probably dozens of times. So it's one of those things you can't put the genie back in the bottle. I wish I would have understood back then. Well, I was a kid. Can't really understand it back then. We shouldn't contribute to this. So as members of Congress introduce legislation to put an end to this, we absolutely have to support them. Just like the animal rights community banned the use of pigs in crash test situations or monkeys in certain test situations, we have to rally around to stop this, because the idea that it is perfectly fine to test vaccines using cells derived from an abortion, it's just reprehensible. And to his credit, Donald Trump tried to stop this. He tried to stop this, making it illegal for the government to give any research to any group that used fetal cell lines to develop their products. That ban did not extend to COVID-19 vaccines. I don't know if that was intentional or if they just slipped through. Technically, that's not like giving money to research, that's buying it. But it's a complicated issue, and it's something that doesn't get talked about enough. And we all need to do so. So if you want, hit that share button. Really would appreciate it on Facebook. Give us a thumbs up, like the video on YouTube. Make sure you give us that thumbs up. Really important. Right now we have 25 thumbs up. We really could use some more so we can reach more people and comment. And on DLive, again, sorry that there's a little bit of an echo. Whenever I go live from home, there's a little echo on the DLive version. I apologize for that. I'm going to try and figure out the best way to do it, but it's hard trying to make it all work. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. If you like the podcast, make sure you subscribe to the audio version. That's available on Apple Podcasts. Also, make sure that you give us a 5-star review. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Podbean. We go live Monday through Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Facebook, and DLive. So make sure you check us out there. Again, like and follow our Facebook page. Subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on YouTube. And then give us a follow on DLive as well. Lots of different links. We're on GabTV. I missed a couple when I was sick. Uploading videos to GabTV. They only let me upload so many a day. So I'm going to try and do that over the weekend, upload a couple more. Make sure you check us out there. We're on Rumble, all different good places. And we are also giving away a gun this month. It ends on March 19th. Make sure you sign up for that gun giveaway. Link in the description. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. My name is Max McGuire. Remember, everyone, that the fight to take back our country isn't over yet, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.